My house will be called a house of prayer. And so we want to be praying and want you to continue to pray as this week rolls on, that Summer will be safe and blessed over these next weeks. And then just keep her in your prayers and continue to pray for Victoria Radford as well and others that are in need of our prayers. And so we want to certainly do that. Well, as I remind you this morning, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, so don't forget to be doing something so that you can stay married. You got to get right down to the basics. I mean, I want to fluff that up a little bit and tell you so you'd thrive, but I'm just happy if you survive. I mean, it'd be nice if you just make it through, Bobby Brown. And so I hate to say this, Bobby's a deacon, but he is really trying to cheap out on his wife. And he thought they'd do the one-stop shopping and shop for his wife out in the lobby with one of these Pine Car Derby cars for a Valentine's Day gift. And, I mean, I'm willing to counsel, but I'm certainly not blaming Christy if she doesn't let him come home. I mean, only for a trial thing, you know. I mean, we have to get back to business eventually. But don't forget, it's tomorrow. And so we want to make sure that we do something for that person if there is somebody. I heard of this couple that they'd got married, and she was so distraught. Supper was a horrible, horrible accident, or just a horrible mess. And he was eating it, tried to muscle his way through it. And she said, "Well, Mama only taught me to cook two things, and that was beef stew and lemon pie." And she said, "I don't know what to do. It's just so bad." And she said, "Well, could you just answer me one thing? Which one is this? Is this the beef stew or the lemon pie?" And, same lady later, she tried to get one of those big turkeys, one of those frozen turkeys, and she read the instructions and had that little thing that's supposed to pop out, and it did. And he asked, we got home, so, "Well, how was that? What'd you use for stuffing?" She said, "It didn't need stuffing. It wasn't hollow. So I just left it like it was." And it's amazing what trouble we can get into. I did... You got some that talk all the time and some that never talk. And they say that opposites attract, you know. And I heard about this one couple that the ladies just talked all the time and talked all the time. And he was just kind of quiet. Well, finally, she'd had enough. Went to see the divorce lawyer and stood before the judge. And she said to him, "Well, he just never says anything, never talks to me, won't give me any dialogue back and forth." And the judge looked at that man and said, "Well, is that true?" He said, "Well, yes, but in my defense, I didn't want to interrupt." So, be careful about that. But it's a Pastor Brown, who Dan and I worked for, he said, "Well, that one fellow talked so much you thought he was vaccinated with a phonograph needle because he just will talk and talk and talk." But it is a blessed time to be married. And all jokes aside, if you've got somebody in your life, you ought to thank God for him or her. And that's the opposite of what you are. You know, you have to clarify these things now. But you ought to thank God for your spouse, or some of you are getting ready to get married. Thank the Lord and wonderful blessings of God. I want to preach for a little while. I know that there's much going on. I'll be normal length of sermon tonight. I won't keep you unnecessarily long, but we'll look into the Word of God at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. It may sound familiar, but I have so many people mention to me something along this line: "Life is so rough, Pastor." There's many, many times that people just come and they say things are going so hard right now. And you and I are not the first ones to experience these things. As a matter of fact, the familiar passage of Scripture we're going to look in that talks about the Apostle Paul, the great missionary, the most famous New Testament missionary ever, comes to that time when he had the thorn in the flesh, which is the passage of Scripture we'll read about. And perhaps we get to a place where we don't know if God is going to answer something for us as well. We find out that Paul is going to go to God about this thorn in the flesh. We know that he went three times. We just look at the verses, chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I might not preach anything new tonight that you don't know about these thorns in the life. Unlike this morning, I preached some things new. If somebody mentioned afterwards that I had Moses on the ark, you got to come to church. You learn these things. I tell you, I know some have been saved a long time and you didn't know it. You thought it was just Noah and his family. Well, apparently I put Moses on there as well. So revelation's coming to me all the time, folks. You better get in here and get it while you can. And so when I told somebody who ever told me, I said, well, that's probably not the only doctrinal error that was preached from me today. So sometimes you say things, you don't even notice it, but keep an eye on me. I'm sure you will. But this familiar passage where the Apostle Paul is coming to God, I just want to preach our way through it and get out of here. But nothing new, but something very important, because I think we're going to find each one of our own selves in this passage. There's many discussions about what the thorn was. Most people say that it was some sort of eye disease that he had, but others say it was some other issues going on. There's a commentator or two that say it was that true person that was a thorn in the flesh, and some of you can identify with that. Oh, yeah, I've got one right here. And please don't point. But whatever it was, I wonder if God didn't leave it a mystery because you can insert your problem there. It may be exactly what you're facing. And so we see that he has this thorn in the flesh, and maybe that's the reason we don't know. Maybe we don't, I don't know. But I want us to look at the scripture and see if we can relate to the situation that the Apostle Paul's in. I love the scripture, of course, for many reasons, but it gives me help when we find ourselves put in that place. And so I want you to look at verse number 7. I'm going to give you three or four points here, and I'm going to see, the first of all, the reality of what's going on. The reality is given in verse number 7, lest I should be exalted. You understand in verses 1 through 6, he's given the vision of, he says, not expedient, verse number 1, for me, doubtless to glory, I will come in visions, revelations. I knew a man in the Christ above 14 years ago, and he talks about what he was allowed to see. And then he transfers from there, kind of transitions in verse number 7 and says, lest I should get all puffed up, there was a thorn in the flesh that was given to me. And we see the reality of the thorn in verse number 7. Lest I should be puffed up above measure through the abundance of the revelations, which was listed in verses 1 through 6. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Wouldn't it be easy to get conceited? He was used of God to write most of the New Testament. He was the one that found Jesus on the road to Damascus, or Jesus found him. He was the one that was the apostle, the go-to guy, the greatest missionary in the New Testament. It would have been easy for him to be puffed up, but the Bible says that there was something in him that was left there, a messenger of Satan, that was left there to buffet him, lest he should be exalted. And we see the reality of the thorn that was in there. I'm saying this because the great Apostle Paul was not exempt from problems. And so please, let's not get ourselves to a place where we think that we're surprised when something bad happens to us. So it's not a sign of being wrong, not right with God. It's not a sign of being backslidden. It's not a sign that, wow, you've really done something bad. It's a sign that you're human, because the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. There are no perfect lives for any of us and in this sin-cursed world that we live in. You take a famous person, take one that nobody's ever heard of, possibly the greatest basketball player of our lifetime. They argue back and forth who is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Many people think Michael Jordan. His dad was killed by two teenagers at a rest area back in 1993, and all of the money that this famous basketball player has, or had then and still has, didn't prevent him from being caught in tragedy of his own family. And that's a secular illustration, but we could go from illustration to illustration to some of the greatest Christians that you know and I know, and they're not exempt from problems. There are some of the ones losing a loved one. There are some of the ones going through great difficulty. There are sometimes the ones that are having difficult times in their lives. I'm saying the reality is that there are things in our lives that we don't like, but that's what brings on verse number 8. So we see the reality in verse number 7, but then we see the request in verse number 8. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. So the apostle does what you do and what I do, and he did what any other Christian would do, and he asked God to take it away. The Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so the apostle goes and he says, I asked God three times that he might remove this thing. Now, can I just have a little time out and just face some faulty thinking that we have? Sometimes this is faulty. We don't ask God for something in case we're wrong. Well, the Apostle Paul was wrong. He wasn't wrong in asking, but he was wrong as far as what God wanted him to do. He was incorrect in thinking God did not answer that prayer in that way. And sometimes we are afraid to pray because what if God doesn't do it? Well, let God be God. You just be you and you ask. Because he understands that in our finite ways, all we can do is ask from a vantage point that we have. How many of you have asked for something and you're certainly glad God didn't give it to you? Unanswered prayers are sometimes the best gift God has ever given. How many of you are married in here tonight, men or ladies? How many of that's the first boyfriend or girlfriend you ever had? A few. Most of you had some other loser before you found this one. Boy, good thing that other one didn't work out. I'm saying tonight that sometimes we're afraid to pray something because we say, what if I'm asking wrong? That's when we go to the God in prayer and we tell him, Lord, according to thy will, this is what I'm praying. Lord, we're praying in Jesus' name, and not only in Jesus' name, but we're praying it according to thy will. Lord, if my petition is not right with you, then I withdraw it. And I don't think you have to tag that on the end of every prayer that you pray, Lord, according to your will, but that ought to be our attitude in every prayer that we pray, that, Lord, if something I'm asking is not your will, then I don't want it. Nothing wrong with that. And so the request was given here when he says, I ask that the Lord would three times remove this thorn from me. Can I tell you the biggest reason we don't get our prayers answered? There's hindrances to prayer listed in the Bible. Yes, there surely are. Unconfessed sin, bad relationship with your spouse. But the greatest reason we don't have prayers answered is because we don't pray them. Well, you can look all time and we can find several of them in there, and we will do it some night on the hindrances to prayer. But the greatest hindrance, bar none, to prayers being answered is that prayers are not prayed. We have not because you ask not. And so we see the request that's given. This is just walking through here with the great Apostle Paul. He says, first of all, the reality is he's got this thorn. The request is, Lord, would you take it from me? Lord, would you take it from me? Lord, would you take it from me? And then I give you number 3, the reply. Verse number 9, no. It's a little longer than that, but that's the gist of it. God says, and he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the response or the reply is given in verse number 9. And God says, no. And before you and I get all upset about your prayer not being answered and my prayer not being answered, remember the greatest missionary in history didn't have all his prayers answered in the way that he wanted them. And maybe that ought to revitalize our prayer life to remind us that our vantage point is so low and his is so high. He's on that high lookout from where he sits. He's on that high observation point, and he can see so much better than we do. Time after time, we've sat on the bedside of somebody. Happened in my family this year. It happened in many of your family this year. God doesn't intervene. I'm thinking of Miss Carol Powell, who we stopped at her house yesterday, and Brother Kermit doesn't look like he'll be long for heaven, long until he goes there, I mean. And we prayed by the bedsides of so many people and prayed, said, Lord, would you heal him, raise him up? And so many of that time, God healed him all right, but not in the way that we ask. He healed him completely. You get some West Virginia teaching and they healed him. He healed him. He healed him. Healed him completely and took him on to heaven. But that's not the way we prayed. And so in essence, God said, no. But that's why we really have to give every prayer in the attitude of, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And you say, well, preacher, how then can you say that God answers prayer if some of the answers are not like we want them? Well, if he gave us everything that we wanted from our finite position, we'd make a mess of our lives and several people around us. If he gave us every bit of finances that we wanted, we'd ruin ourselves 20 times over. If he healed everybody in the way that we're specifically asking, then that would set some other chain of events that wouldn't allow somebody to get saved because of the person that didn't make it. And that funeral service was what brought somebody else to Christ. You see, there's so many intricacies that you and I can't see, but God Almighty knows. And the request was given, but then the reply was, no. So we want to continue on and give you the last one point we see in verse number 10. We see the response then given by the apostle. So since he asked in verse number 7 or verse number 8, God says no in verse number 9. The response in verse number 10 is, I'll just live with it and go on anyway. How do you find that? You see in verse number 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. And so the response of the great missionary Paul is that, God, if that's the way you want it, I'll not only accept it, but I'll be excited about it. And so what we had to say when my dear mother went to heaven, Lord, that's not what we want, but we'll accept it and go on. And I'm looking at different people in this auditorium that you've had to do the exact same thing that we did. And you said, Lord, we're asking and asking and asking and asking. But then God answers in a different way. And our response ought to be what the apostle says. Therefore, he said, the thorn, I'll be excited about it. I'll take pleasures in that, the necessities that are put upon me, the persecutions, the distress, the things that I would have rather gotten out of if I could have chosen, but God, you wouldn't allow me to, so since you won't allow me to, then my next duty is to be excited about what you've allowed in my life and be thankful for it. I've told you before, but it fits so well right here. Brother John Bishop, our good friend in Rosebud, Arkansas, who came down with meningitis, said he thanked God for three things. Salvation, his Donna, he calls her my Donna, his dear wife, and meningitis. How would you thank God for something that rips so much from you? Because in the midst of it ripping so much from you, it brought a lot of other things that you're going to find glory in. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says in passage in Hebrews that without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Was Paul, from every evidence in the Scriptures, a man of faith? Yes. Did he do what Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 says? Yes. And he had so much faith in God that even when God didn't answer the request in the way he wanted, he had faith in God to trust him through the answer of no. And this is not a clause for God to get out of answering prayer, because God has never been troubled by anything. I sometimes wrongfully say, well, if God goes to trouble of doing this, then you ought to do that. God, nothing's any trouble for God. God could pick this building up, spin it three times, and set it right back down with all of us in here, and we wouldn't know it. He's not going to, but he could. So nothing is any trouble to him. So this is not a clause in some contract that God needs to keep him from having to answer prayer, because there's no problem with God. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he doesn't always answer our prayer because he knows what his will is. And that's why we pray, God, according to thy will. So ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. It tells us to ask and ask and ask. And that's what Paul did. He asked thrice. Paul was a man of faith. And in that faith, after asking, God gave Paul verse number 10. And that verse says, allowed him to take pleasure in infirmities. It allowed him to be right in reproaches. It allowed him to go through necessities. It allowed him to honor God in persecutions. And we see that the response is, thy will be done. Where did we hear that before? When Jesus prayed and said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And so, my friend, I'm looking at this passage and seeing one of the premier Christians have a difficulty that he did not like. Ask God for healing, and God says, not the way you want it. And then I see the man of God not stumble and not get bitter, but instead I see him take it in stride and say, Lord, if that's your will, then I'm going to glorify you in the rest of my life anyways. Now, you and I don't have to think very long to what somebody comes to our mind that's bitter about something that God didn't do. Many of you can think of somebody who used to sit in these pews. And it's not my intent to look down on them and say how much better you are than they. But it is my intent to equip you so that you won't be one of those folks. Because, friend, rest assured, if God says no, he's going to see you all the way through that no until one of these days you'll be glad he answered in the way he did, even if it wasn't yes, but it was no. You'll be so thankful that he did, and you'll glorify his name if only you'll stay and trust him by faith. His track record is so good. You may not get to it in the next verse like the Apostle Paul did. Therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It may take you a series of days, weeks, months, or even years to get to accept that no that God put in your life. But I'm telling you, friend, you'll never be at peace and you'll never be where you want to be until you say, God, thy will, not mine, be done, and trust the Lord by faith through it. But I do promise you, it may not be this side of heaven. It may be way later when you're on the banks of Jordan. It may be when you're in glory. But there will be a time when you'll look at it and you'll say, God, you were right all along. Now, if God gives us the great privilege to see that soon, praise his name. But if he doesn't allow us to see that vantage point until we get to glory, let's go on by faith anyway. So the reality is, the Apostle Paul had some issues. The reality in our lives is, nobody lives in Disney World all the time. You won't get up in the morning singing singing little lighthearted songs, just saying, I can't wait to get in the office. The reality is, we all have problems. The request is us going to him. And sometimes the reply is no. And when that reply is no, why would I have enough faith to accept a yes answer and not enough faith to accept a no answer? Am I only going to be trusting God when he does exactly like I want him to? Friend, that's not faith. That's just getting your way. Faith comes in when he says no to a certain request. And so I guess it would come down to that question, do I have enough faith to accept a no? I pray I do. The thorns in life, they teach us a lot of lessons, and I hope that some of the things that you're going through, that you would trust, give God the great benefit of the doubt, is what we call it now. But just believe Him for who He is, that He's going to make a way, even when it doesn't seem to be the way you want. The Apostle Paul did. May I do it as well. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask You to give us the faith. When the request comes back, no, not right now. Or no, not at all. Lord, would You please give me the faith to trust You through that no, just like I would have trusted You through a yes. Help me, Father, I pray. As the ladies begin to play, and you just remain seated for just a little while, I think that all of us need some work in this department. We that need to work on the part of asking God, we have not because we ask not, or trust Him in His good, mighty hand of God to answer correctly, even if that answer is not exactly what I wanted. There's a lot of great lessons in what the thorn did in the life of the Apostle Paul. But he never would have known some of those lessons, some of those great blessings, if God had answered his prayer the way he first asked it, or second or third. Let's trust Him through it. I trust right there in your seat that if the Lord has squeezed you, that you do holy business with Him. Amen. Would you stand together with us? Brother Daniel will be right here in front of the pulpit. Maybe you need somebody to pray with. There's many different folks that would love to just take a time to pray with you. Maybe, you know, pride has knocked so many blessings out of our lives, we don't even want to ask somebody to pray with us anymore because of what they might think of us. Could I just say, forget all of that? And I have no doubt that the Lord is working on some people in this room right now, asking, leading you to trust God through some difficult situations. Maybe you need to be down this altar and you'd like a friend to go with you. Ask that friend, or they'll say yes. Maybe the Lord's leading you, and I'm very shy to do this. Maybe the Lord's leading you to go ask somebody if they'd like for you to pray with them. Whatever your need is, this altar is open for you. You say, preacher, I don't have to go to the altar. You don't. But I can tell you this, some of the best decisions I've ever made in all of my life have been at an altar of an independent Baptist church. As they continue to play, and if God's dealing with your heart, maybe you're here and there's some spiritual need you have. Maybe you need to be baptized. You haven't ever been saved. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You'd like to come and present yourself. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You come and present yourself for that. Perhaps you're here tonight and it's your salvation that is really troubling you. You're not sure. You hear Brother Dan sing about the Lord coming back, and that kind of scares you because you're not sure if you're ready. Would you slip out and come? Let Brother Daniel just take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. as they just play through another verse, this one's for you. We'll close it and go home. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, now we come to you. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help our church have a bunch of people that have that faith to go on. Lord, let the thorns not derail us when we come to you and ask and you don't answer the way we asked. May we have that faith to go on anyway. Bless us, I pray. Lord, now we pray again as a church. And folks, would you pray with me as we all go to the Lord together? Lord, I pray for Summer as she leaves Tuesday. You'd put your hand of protection on her. Bless her. Watch over her. Give her Holy Spirit leading and guidance, I pray. Bless Victoria Radford, dear Lord. Keep her safe. Protect her. Give her your good hand of blessing as she's over there. Lord, I pray for Brother Stephen Carrier, not here tonight, but out of this meeting somewhere, I'm sure. He's just about ready to head on to Chile. Lord, keep your hand upon him. Bless him in a special way. Lord, I pray for Brother Ben Gallions trying to get out and get things stirred up so that he can get some more funding to get over back to England. Lord, hasten that as well. But Lord, I pray that you do a special work in these people's lives. And we'll thank you for your good hand upon them. And I pray that you'd bless us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May look this way. What a joy to be in church. Thank you for being here. A couple quick announcements. Don't forget, if you want one of the Pinewood Derby cars, Miss Becky will be out there at the table. I think she's the one that's selling those. Also, Amy and I will be back in the back. If we have any young people that didn't get a piece of candy or something from us, we have something for Valentine's Day. We'll be back in the back. And young people, by the way, y'all sat up here on the front row so good. That whole service, mercy sakes, that was wonderful. I don't know what your teachers were thinking, but you did a great job. They did a great job singing, and I feel like an evangelist that's pleading with sinners to get right. Men, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I just feel like, you know, those preachers, those evangelists wouldn't let the service in because they were crying for sinners to come forward. Men, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Thank you for being in church today. God bless you. You're dismissed.